Praise the Lord. This is Pastor Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible, and we're in the book of Acts, chapter 11, 30 verses and translation and commentary. And today we'll be doing also part 3 of spiritual warfare. We also have some letters and phone response from our phone room. And right now let's go to the throne of the Lord to ask the Lord to bless this service. Father, we thank you for pouring out your Spirit. The minute we ask you to save our souls, for Christ to enter into us and wash us from all of our sins with his precious blood, the precious blood that he shed on the cross at Calvary, he did when he brought you with him and by the Holy Spirit. Lord, you know the fullness of the Godhead bodily live within us. And now we pray, Lord, we've been filled, those of us that are in the ministry here, have been filled with the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And we pray that you'll anoint us on this tape this evening. Anoint everything that's being said. And let it come directly from you on the throne, so that everything in this service is you. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone say amen.
Amen.
All right, we have some letters, Michelle, and who are these letters from?
This first one's from Livingston, Texas.
All right, let's hear it.
Dear Mr. Alamo, I recently received your Alamo Christian Ministries World Newsletter from a cellmate of mine at the Polunsky Prison Unit in Livingston, Texas. It was the January-March 2003 issue. As I read your newsletter, it opened my eyes. It also strengthened my faith in Christ and helped me become more rooted and established in my faith. Well, they have now moved my cellmate to another location in the prison, so I have no way of reading your newsletter. I would like to start receiving my own copies of your newsletter. I feel the same way you feel, that the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is so very near. Please feel free to send me any other literature to increase my knowledge and strengthen my faith. Thanks sincerely, T.A. from Livingston, Texas.
Well, it isn't just a feeling. I believe he's this young in the Lord. He should say, I believe the same way you believe. I believe Christ. If we believe, if we have faith, then we are, and Christ is the entire Word of God, then we can be saved. Well, you may say, I don't know the whole Word of God. This is why the Lord commands for us to study the Word, so that we can be workmen approved by him, rightly dividing the Word. And the more we know, you know, it's impossible. It's very hard. It would be very hard, actually impossible, for you to love the Lord unless you knew the Lord. And the Bible says that the Lord is the Word of God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us here in this world. And so how can you say you love the Lord if you don't know the entire Word? And how do you know that the words that you're hearing from preachers, and some of the preachers are false prophets? How would you know that this is the real Lord if they just tell you that the Lord is love and that's all? He just loves, loves, loves. When the Bible plainly tells you that God has several different sides to him. One, he loves, he hates, he despises, he is tender, he's merciful, he also is a terrorist to those that do the opposite of the things that he commands for everyone to do. So I love that about the Lord, because there's some people in this world that are so despicable that they're very easy to despise. But in spiritual warfare, we are to live an upright life. This is actually spiritual warfare in itself. And we're to preach the gospel to them so that they can learn about the Lord. How could you love a God that just loves it if people are aborting children? I couldn't love a God like that. How could you, and the God that I love, the word that I see in the Bible, he does not love that the sins that people commit. I could not love a God that loved the sin of homosexuality and lesbianism. To me, it's disgusting and revolting, and to any decent minded, thinking minded person, it's disgusting and revolting to them as well. I couldn't love a person that murders little babies, with the exception of that I get the gospel to them. That's is I love the person, but I do not love their sin. And the Lord despises these sins. And if people love to continue on in adultery, fornication, lesbianism, homosexuality, raping, having sexual relationships with little boys and little girls, kidnapping children from their parents, I couldn't love a God that wouldn't chasten or wouldn't rebuke or wouldn't punish people that do things like that. So this is the kind of God. Now, I love God because he does those things. If he just loved, 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 I couldn't love him. And anyone, any preacher, or the people that call themselves prophets to tell you that God just loves everybody, that's amazing, because the Bible said, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. And the psalmist David said that he hates with a perfect hatred. Jesus said, we can't love two masters. We must love one and hate the other. He says, "How if we love him, then we must hate Satan." If you love Satan, it's for sure you hate God. And if you hate God, you may not realize it, but you love Satan. And if you love Satan, the Lord said, he hates you. And if he hates you, you're not going to spend eternity in heaven, but you're going to be screaming your head off in the lake of fire. So that's the real God. And that's why I love him, is because he's not a pervert, or he isn't a make-believe God. He's a real God, and he's a God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he's the God of those and delivers those that love his commandments, that fear him and love keep his commandments. All right, so now let's go on.
The next letter?
Yes, where is this one from?
The Democratic Republic of Congo.
Right.
Very dear Pastor Tony Alamo, I have great joy by announcing that I have received a package containing the literature entitled Earthquake, which you have published for the last great campaign.
Well, it's just such a timely piece of literature, because the other night on the news, I heard that there was another earthquake. And what is today's date? Isn't it the 14th of June, 2005? And then there was another earthquake in Chile today, this very day. And also there was a tsunami alert in here in California, down the entire coastline. And because there were two earthquakes on the ocean floor. And, you know, at the present time, we're in the valley, just about 15 minutes from Hollywood, California. And the valley is indeed a valley. There are mountains all around Los Angeles, and we are in the valley. Now, just around an hour ago or 2 hours ago, the tsunami alert was lifted. That people were trembling in this general area for around 2 hours. It was very well broadcasted on the news here in Los Angeles. All right, so let's... And there's tsunamis and earthquakes all over the world. I've been told that there are around between 1 and 10,000 of them a day. So we're living in the last days, and these are the signs, just one of the signs that is predicted of the events that would be taking place here in the last days, just before Jesus comes back to earth again. God is pouring his plagues out on this sinful, wretched bunch of people on this earth that hate him, and so he's going to punish people. And he's it's going to get worse and worse. The more people rebel, the more, and the more they lie, like the news media calls people rebels, anyone that they make up that is evil, like for instance, they made up that the Christians are evil, the true born-again Christians, that the Vatican and the false religions are of the Lord, and that we who are born of the Spirit Christians are of the devil. The more they do that, the more God is going to pour out his wrath on this earth. All right, because the Spirit of God lives in us, and when you say that the Spirit that is in us is of the devil, you're blasphemous. This is called blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And there's no forgiveness for that sin in this world or in the world to come. Jesus warned because he was the first human being that had the Spirit of God in him. He had God with him, as now we do that are born of the Spirit. And he warned people that were saying, you cast devils out by the spirit of the devil. And he said, there's one unforgivable sin. It's unforgivable in this world or in the world to come. And that's to blaspheme the Holy Spirit. Now, you can say all kinds of things about Tony Alamo. Jesus said you can say all things about him. But when you start saying that I'm casting demons out of people by the spirit of Satan, you're blaspheming. You are committing blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. So be careful, you careless people. What are you careless of? You're careless with your own soul. Because you don't know that tonight your soul might be required of you. And then when you're standing before God Almighty, what are you going to do? I'll tell you what you'll do. You'll do the same thing I did when I was confronted with it in an office in Beverly Hills. Your knees will begin knocking and you'll start screaming, don't kill me. Only then, if you're already dead and your spirit is there, you're already killed. And you'll be begging, don't send my soul to hell. God, don't do it. And he'll say, it's too late. You needed to repent while you were still on earth. But it's too late now. You cannot go back again. There's no such thing as reincarnation. Now, depart from me, you wicked, and then you'll find yourself in hell, and hell shall be cast into the lake of fire, and the torment is forever and ever. It never ends. There's no parole. There's no parole board, and there's no exit out of hell, and there's no exit out of the lake of fire, and there's no end. The Bible says that the smoke of the torment of those in the lake of fire shall ascend up forever. All right, what's the rest of the letter?
I personally want to thank you for having thought about the people here. The majority of them have been drawn away by two false prophets, which the Bible speaks about and has been clarified by you in the pamphlet. I myself have been completely changed by reading the message. I have begun to understand how today's world is perverted, but an assurance is given to God's children who believe in his name. As soon as I received the package, I started to distribute the newsletters. Many people have asked me if there was a way they could get them frequently. Dear Pastor, I am ready to receive these newsletters and other publications for the Christians here, but I have a problem with finances. The last package cost me $12 to get it.
I just don't understand how they have to pay postage when we pay postage on this end. But I want everybody to know that if they have to pay postage, we will indeed send the $12 to this man, or whatever he says that it's going to cost. But this should, if there are any decent secular people in the government yet, we should report this and see if there's anything that can be done about us people having to pay postage in order to get something that postage has already been paid for. Okay, go ahead.
Therefore, if you are able, help me with this. Nevertheless, I am asking that you would send me the book entitled The Messiah. As for the T-shirt, the size is extra large, and other brothers here have also manifested their will to receive them. Next time I am going to send you a photograph of myself. Dear Pastor, please pray for me and all my family. Greetings in Jesus Christ, signed E.D.
Praise the Lord. We have the Tony Alamo Christian Ministries T-shirts and sweatshirts that we offer all distributors of our literature so that they can, they like to wear them on the streets when they're distributing literature. And so if you are desirous of becoming a distributor, we'll be more than happy to send you some of these T-shirts and sweatshirts as well. They come in black, and then some of them are white, and some of them are gray. We also have jackets for people that we know that are really distributing a lot of literature. They're made of denim. And you can have them, they can be rhinestoned as well. So the people that are distributing here in the Los Angeles area and throughout the United States wear the rhinestone ones that we just developed, the T-shirts, sweatshirts, and jackets to that point. All right, do you have the, what else?
The witnessing line response?
Mm-hmm.
Our missionary in the United Kingdom called to say that he received 4 boxes of literature yesterday, and he has distributed most of them. He will be finished with his distribution in the next 2 days. He would really like the literature to arrive on a constant basis. He said that he was weeping when he received them, because people in the United Kingdom are now able to receive the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ that they might be saved. It's summer, and there's so many people out, our missionary stated. While he was distributing the literature in downtown London, 3 of the readers received the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior.
Praise the Lord. We had a response the other day. We have responses such as everyone that they hand the literature to, they become saved. And this is like incredible. So if we hand out 1 billion pieces of literature, that means 1 billion people would be saved. This means that this literature is so powerful that people read it and are saved. This means that the Lord must be so close to his coming. How could things get any more dangerous and more vile? We have people, I've heard a report on KFPK, a radio station here in Los Angeles, that stated that President Bush's brother, and they have tapes proving it, that he was the one in charge of the security for the World Trade Center when it was blown up. And then they have, on the same tape, they have, and videos, they have people testifying that there were many bombs set strategically in the building to where when they all went off simultaneously at the time that the planes crashed into the building. This caused the buildings, the World Trade Center, to pancake down. Now, one of my nephews worked in Las Vegas with the man who was responsible for dynamiting these old casinos down, the old hotels down, so that they could clear the area and put up new casinos. They put charges all over the building. It had to be all over the building. An airplane could not crash into the Dunes Hotel or the Sands or any of these buildings that they that pancaked down if there were not charges set throughout the entire building. My nephew told me how they do it. And you can see the charges going off. They've shown these videos of the hotels going down, and you can hear the blasts going off all around the whole building and within the building where these superstructures were held up. And that's exactly what happened to the World Trade Center. These security, quote, security men, supposedly security men, were the ones responsible for setting these charges. Now, these KFPK states that it was the Bush family was involved with it, the White House was definitely involved with it, and that this country has been taken over. Say, we love it. By a bunch of people that say you're unpatriotic if you don't do what they tell you to do. Now, what they want everybody to be is frightened of an alien group of people that are supposedly outside this country. But this country, according to radio station KPFK here in Los Angeles, they're saying that the country has been taken over by an alien force that is actually infiltrated into our government. Abraham Manhattan said the same thing, and I've written literature in that regard. I told everybody the same thing that they're saying on KFPK. I told them that immediately when the World Trade Center blew up and was hit with the airplanes. And so the people at KPFK, I believe, have received my literature. My office got two or three calls from them today. And I believe that they received these messages from my literature and my tapes. And I thank God that people are... And then we have also people that were with the FBI. Secret agents have told us that definitely the government has done these things. And even the bombings at the federal building in Oklahoma City, we heard from people that went to the FBI reporting these things, that they saw FBI men going into the federal building and different people that worked there rushing in just before the bombing, and they took their children out of there real quick and left everybody else, all the other people's children in there. And it's like as though people wondered, what is this? Why are people rushing around inside? And they said that the FBI told them, if you say this, you're going to be killed. So, you know, you can get my literature, you can receive it. It's dated way back when. Just before the World Trade Center bombing and the planes crashing into it and the utter demolition of it. It was a very professional demolition team that... set bombs throughout the building because they couldn't have pancaked down as it did unless they would have. You can ask any demolition company if that isn't true. They allegedly have actual films of different parts of the building blowing up and different pieces of debris flying out of the building before it ever pancaked down. And this is what happened to the major hotels that they blew up in the Las Vegas area. All right, so we have this alien force in our country that now they say is our authorities, and they're, according to KPFK these days, I've said this for years, but now they've undermined our country and say, now if we don't do the same thing to them, other countries that were not patriotic. And they're saying it, you know, very sincerely, then all of a sudden he says, no, but now President Bush says, let's go, let me tee off. And he plays golf, and then he goes off to on fishing trips or whatever. They know what's going on because they're the ones. Now, the Vatican released, just before these things happened, they stated that there's going to be terrorism in the country, and it's never going to stop. And so I wrote an article stating that these people are not prophets, they're false prophets, and it's a false cult. They are not clairvoyant at all. They have no messages from the Lord. So I told everybody, you can believe. Now, I don't know where it's going to come from, but you can believe that terrorism is going to happen in this country. And they said it's going to happen in the early fall. And I said, sure enough. I said, now you can just believe this. And I told people on tape. I told them on in a piece of literature. I said, early fall, around September, something is going to happen because these people are the ones that are going to do it. This article that they ran was in the Sun newspaper, the tabloid that you see in supermarkets. And I have the date on it and everything so that you could read it. Some cardinals or priests from the Vatican stated it would happen because they had it all planned. It was all organized. This thing is, this would be impossible for it to have happened unless the government were involved in it. This is what happened in Nazi Germany. They blew up the Reichstag building because they wanted to put get everybody to start fighting. They wanted all the youth to say that it was an alien force in here. We've got to get an army together. We've got to go over and bomb this country. We've got to start controlling the world because they blew up the Reichstag building. And now they did the same thing here. They blew up the federal building, and that didn't work. Then they blew up the World Trade Center, and it worked. And they knew it would work. That's why they said that there were hundreds of security men that would be going in and out of the building, and no one would pay any attention to them because President Bush's brother was the one in charge, and so they just had free course to go in and out of the building, whatever they want. Nobody was able to question them what they were doing. They were bringing parts, nuts and bolts and all kinds of things in there, and motors and even dynamite. So, you know, I'm an American. I love America. I'm really patriotic, and that's why I'm telling people the things that the Lord told me. He gave me some godly sense. Godly sense. And you can write to KPFK. I'm sure they are hitting people up for donations. Send them $65, they'll send you all those tapes that you want. Some of them are run $65 and some $85. And they'll explain the whole thing to you. If you don't believe me, and the Lord, well, this station is still on the air. And order them while they're hot, okay? Then what else does the letter say?
That's it.
Okay? All right, praise the Lord. Now let's get on with... See, I really don't like talking about these things. I'm called to preach the gospel and to warn people of the devil and to show them where the devil is. Because the Apostle Paul said, when we're saved, we're not to fight the air. If you're in the ring with, I used to be, fight when I was a young boy. I used to box and wrestle and all sorts of things like this. And I don't think I would have won. I had 30-some fights, and I won all of them. But I don't think I would have won any one of them if I couldn't see my opponent. You have to be able to know who your opponent is. If it's some mystical bunch of ragheads, which they call them, these Arabs that are living in caves that did all this and is organizing all these different atrocities that are happening in our country, or is it the Vatican, like the Bible says? And even KPFK, they do not put their finger on the Vatican. They want you to think it's Bush. Bush has been, the Vatican doesn't care, and Bush doesn't care if you blame him. And neither do the people in the government. I'm not blaming him. I know that President Bush is just a puppet of the Vatican, and he does what he's told. And everybody in the regime does what the Vatican tells them to do. But I'm saying to President Bush, his brother, or anyone else that was involved in this thing, or any of the other atrocities that they're doing, such as the Waco massacre, give your heart to the Lord, all you people. I mean, the Lord will forgive you. I'm not allowed to, we're supposed to be fighting spiritual warfare, and that's what we're doing. Part three here, and you'll see that I don't tell people to start war or anything, or kill these people, because our weapons of warfare, we Christians, we born the spirit Christians, our weapons of warfare are not carnal. but they're spiritual to the bringing down of strongholds. The Word of God is able to expose these works of Satan. And then if people have anything in them at all, if they're at all concerned about their life, their soul, then they're going to receive the gospel. They're going to be saved. Now, there's going to be more and more of these atrocities unless people realize what's going on. Now, a lot of these real patriotic radio stations and underground newspapers are saying they want to go to war against all these people. I pray that they will just get saved and pray to God and witness to these people so that they'll be saved. We are not a militant group. We're not at all militant. We don't have guns, bullets, bombs, or anything like this. But receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And then if a bomb goes off and blows you up, so what? You'll be in the kingdom of heaven right away. And it's going to happen whether you get saved or not. If you get saved, there's a strong possibility that the Lord will warn you when these bombs are going off and will tell you to go over to this place or that place. Just like when they said there was a tsunami alert here in Los Angeles, I asked the Lord if it was going to happen today, tonight, or right away, and the Lord says, you could go up to Saugus, where our church is, which is up in the high mountains there, and it would not affect us there. But we're living in this valley here, and the valley is definitely a valley. All right, so Acts chapter 11 with 30 verses. All right, let's go, Sharon.
Peter begins explaining his actions. King James Version, verse 1. And the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. Verse 2. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him. Verse 3, saying...
In other words, those that were of the circumcision, that means those that were Jews, were started contending with him. Because Jews are circumcised, and the Gentiles are not. Okay, then what?
Saying, thou wentest into men uncircumcised, and didst eat with them.
They're accusing Paul of eating with the Gentiles. All right, then what? And that was forbidden. Then what?
Verse 4, but Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning, and expounded it by order unto them, saying, verse 5, I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, a certain vessel descend, as it had been a great sheet, let down from heaven by four corners, and it came even to me.
Okay, now we'll go to translation. We'll go with translation all the way out, because I was... done so much talking here in regard to the different way that the United States has been undermined by what most people would consider friendly fire. Okay, then what?
Peter begins explaining his actions. Translation, verse 1. Soon the news reached the apostles and other believers in Judea that the Gentiles received the word of God. Verse 2. But when Peter arrived back in Jerusalem, some of the Jewish believers criticized him. Verse 3, quote, you entered the home of Gentiles and even ate with them! Exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 4. Then Peter told them exactly what had happened. Verse 5. Quote, one day in Joppa, he said, while I was praying, I went into a trance and saw a vision. Something like a large sheet was let down by its four corners from the sky, from heaven, and it came right down to me. Verse 6. When I looked inside the sheet, I saw all sorts of small animals, wild animals, reptiles, and birds that we are not allowed to eat.
Okay, so a lot of ministers say that this is showing that you can eat anything. What, lizards and eagles and buzzards? No, this has nothing to do with food. This has to do with we're able to preach the gospel to every Gentile nation. Gentile nations, I explained this on the last tape, are symbolized in the Bible with different animals. Like one country is like the leopard, another one is like a dragon, another one is a lion, and another one is a bull, another one is a horse, or whatever. And so These are not animals that we can eat. And sometimes the Lord gives us messages that are metaphors, and we have to... He later explains what it's all about. This is opening the ministry to the Gentiles, the unclean nations, the nations that are not uncircumcised Gentiles. Circumcision was just a sign. A lot of people say it was for cleanliness. It's not for cleanliness at all, either. It was for to show that you're a person of the Lord. And our hearts today, we don't need to be circumcised now in the flesh, but we need to be circumcised in our heart. The Holy Spirit has to cut through our flesh into our spirit, into our the depths of our soul, our spirit, and mingle itself. God, Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, by the Spirit, enter into us and circumcise the fleshy heart to where we become spiritual. That's circumcision of the heart. Every man, woman, and child, if they intend to spend eternity in heaven, must allow the Lord to accommodate himself in us and to take over our entire life so that he can live out his life in and through us, through us. He wants to represent himself in us and through us to the entire unsaved world, to these people, the most vile of sinners. Now, a lot of these people that are with the Vatican, they really believe that it's the right thing to do is to destroy all people that are not Vaticanites. And anyone that doesn't join them, they feel is of the devil. And they've been taught that ever since they're children. And the Lord doesn't allow any of this sort of thing. They're thinking that they're Jews, and they're not Jews. They're uncircumcised Gentiles. Bush's family are not Jews. We know for sure that the Vatican is Jew haters. Now, they pretend that they like the Jews because they even have allowed the different Jewish organizations to join them in their diocese, the Catholic Defense League and all this. They love to outwardly defend Jews, but inwardly they are causing all the trouble in Israel through the Arabic nations. They are the ones that tell them what to do. That's why they're so bold in doing the things that they've... The Bible says that it's the mother of every abomination on earth. Okay, then what?
Verse 7, "Then I heard a voice say, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat them,'" unquote. Verse 8, quote, "Never, Lord,' I replied, 'I have never eaten anything forbidden by our Jewish laws,'" unquote. Verse 9, quote, "But the voice from heaven came again, quote, 'If God says something is acceptable, don't say it isn't,'" unquote.
Gentiles are acceptable into the body of Christ now. Don't say that it's not so. God is going to change his food laws. These different unclean animals that are not food, even if it meant God would never go back on his own word. God did say from the very beginning that he would be the savior of all nations, that Abraham would be the father of many nations. And so this tells us that not only the Jewish nation would be saved, but all the nations would have a shot at salvation. They would be able to get saved if they wanted to. God doesn't force you to be saved. He doesn't force you to be good. But he wants you to come to him willingly and then allow his powerful spirit in you after he enters in to give you the power to not to go and sin. He wants you to go and sin no more. And this power is of the Holy Spirit. There's nothing more powerful than the Holy Spirit in you. All right, then what?
Verse 10. "This happened three times before the sheet and all it contained was pulled back up to heaven." Verse 11. "Just when three men who had been sent from Caesarea arrived at the house where I was staying." Verse 12, The Holy Spirit told me to go with them and not to worry about their being Gentiles. These six brothers here accompanied me, and we soon arrived at the home of the man who had sent for us.
Right, a Gentile. A Gentile. Had nothing to do with food. Then what?
Verse 13. He told us how an angel had appeared to him in his home and had told him, send messengers to Joppa to find Simon Peter. Verse 14. He will tell you how you and all your household will be saved.
Yeah, he's not going to tell you what you can have on the menu, but he's going to tell you that salvation belongs to you now. All right, then what?
Verse 15. Well, I began telling them the gospel, the good news, but just as I was getting started, the Holy Spirit fell on them, just as he fell on us at the beginning. Verse 16. Then I thought of the Lord's words when he said, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Verse 17. And since God gave these Gentiles the same gift he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to argue? Unquote.
So again, that shows that it isn't food. He's shown them that Gentiles can be saved. Then what?
Verse 18. When the others heard this, all their objections were answered, and they began praising God. They said, quote, God has also given the Gentiles the privilege of turning from sin and receiving eternal life, unquote. The church in Antioch of Syria. Verse 19. Meanwhile, the believers who had fled from Jerusalem during the persecution after Stephen's death traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, and Syria. They preached the gospel, the good news, but only to the Jews. Verse 20. However, some of the believers who went to Antioch and Cyprus and Cyrene began preaching to Gentiles about the Lord Jesus. Verse 21. The power of the Lord was upon them, and large numbers of Gentiles believed and turned to the Lord. Verse 22. When the church at Jerusalem heard what had happened, they sent Barnabas to Antioch. Verse 23. When he arrived and saw this proof of God's favor, he was filled with joy, and he encouraged the believers to stay true to the Lord. Verse 24. Barnabas was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and strong in faith, and large numbers of people were brought to the Lord. Verse 25. Then Barnabas went on to Tarsus to find Saul. Verse 26. When he had found him, he brought him back to Antioch. Both of them stayed there with the church for a full year, teaching great numbers of people. It was there in Antioch that the believers were first called Christians. Verse 27. During this time, some prophets traveled from Jerusalem to Antioch. Verse 28. One of them, named Agabus, stood up in one of the meetings to predict by the Spirit that a great famine was coming upon the entire Roman world. This was fulfilled during the reign of Claudius. Verse 29. So the believers in Antioch decided to send relief to the brothers and sisters in Judea, everyone giving as much as they could. Verse 30. This they did, entrusting their gifts to Barnabas and Saul to take to the elders of the church in Jerusalem.
Right. Well, now the 24th chapter of the book of Revelation, the book of Matthew, tells us that there's going to be great famines along with these earthquakes. And you can see that over in Africa and many other countries. People are starving to death there. And you say, well, what kind of God is that? The Lord said if they would turn to the Lord, that they'll have plenty of everything. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and all things will be added unto you. Everything. And what could be more than immortality in the king, in the best place in the entire universe? No eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor has it entered the heart of man, the beautiful things that the Lord has laid away for those that love him and keep his commandments. All right, now we have some commentary.
11, verse 1 through 3. Even before Peter arrived home, the Jewish believers heard the Gentiles had believed in Christ. Because of their prejudice, they did not accept what they had heard. It wasn't exactly just prejudice. They were just told by the Lord that the gospel was first to the Jews.
Well, you know, really, God is prejudiced. He loves those that love him and keep his commandments, and he hates those that have made a stance that they never will, that they're not going to do what God says. And so if you want to call that prejudice, then the creator, the dictator of the entire universe, is prejudiced. Now, he's not prejudiced against blacks or whites or people that are yellow or red or whatever color you are, beige, but he's prejudiced against sinners. You either must choose to be a sheep or you're going to be a goat. You have to choose to be whole grain, wheat, or chaff to be burnt. All right, then what? Continue on.
It wasn't exactly just prejudice. They were just told by the Lord that the gospel was first to the Jews and then to the Gentiles. So they did not accept what they had heard. What they did is they wanted it proved to them. They immediately confronted Peter. Earlier, when faced with opposition before Christ's death, which can be found in Luke chapter 22, verse 54 through 62, Peter had denied his faith. But he did not fold this time. God had made some dramatic changes in him since that painful day. Peter defended the truth that had been revealed unto him. So these were amazing changes in Peter. Without concern for the cost of losing his friends and other Christians, he just forsook himself and did what the Lord said. Sometimes you may be surprised at the changes that God has worked out in your life. Recognizing how far you have already come can encourage you to preserve your soul by persevering in the process of the fullness of the stature of Christ. 11 verse 4 through 18. The Jewish believers were slow to accept Gentile believers into their fellowship. They criticized an event that actually was reason for rejoicing. They had succeeded in obeying Jesus' mandate to testify about him in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Chapter 1, verse 8. Numerous Samaritans had already believed in Christ. Chapter 8, verse 1 through 25. And now Gentiles from the ends of the earth had joined the Christian community, the heavenly community here on earth. See also chapter 8, verse 26 through 40. You may have friends who cannot receive or recognize our moments of triumph in growing in the Lord, or the different supernatural events that the Lord leads us into, and the way that we have overcome all of our different hang-ups to the point where we have totally recovered. They may try to discourage us, even though we know that we've recovered as we take significant steps to follow God's will and keep growing to the fullness of the Lord. You must not allow them to throw a wet blanket over your salvation, over your faith, or discourage you in your progress to the fullness of the Lord and the wonderful experiences that you will receive in Christ as you follow him.
All right, praise the Lord. That was chapter 11, Acts, translation in commentary, now part 3 of spiritual warfare.
The Lord wants his name hallowed here on earth. Hallowed means he wants it honored on earth because he owns the earth.
Now, I don't call that honor when they're taking the name of God out of courtrooms and they're trying to say that secular law is so powerful that you should kick God out of courtrooms, schools, everywhere, off currency. No, the Bible tells us that all men were created by God and we are to exalt him, and that any nation that forgets God shall be destroyed. And so the entire world is going to be destroyed. God promises it. He's going to, he states that the entire world is going to be burnt with such a fervent heat that even the elements will melt. And that's soon. It's very forthcoming. It's very near. And you're going to hear more and more destruction. Trust me on this one. You're going to see more and more pestilence. The more these earthquakes hit, the more these tsunamis hit, the more disease, which is called pestilence in the Bible, sicknesses, infirmities, the water's going to be polluted, the more famines, and it's just going to get worse and worse. Some people are saying that they're no longer afraid of these amateur tourists that are blowing people up with bombs, but they're becoming more fearful of what God's going to do with them. And this is great, because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's what the Bible says. And the Bible then says also that the fear of the Lord is wisdom. So who wouldn't fear God, who is able to cause the entire earth to be rocked off of its axis? The Bible states that the mountains are going to disappear. The hills, there'll be, it just, everything is going to go down. You look at these big buildings in New York City and other cities. They're building these huge monuments unto themselves, glorifying the architects and those that build these buildings. They're all going to be leveled. Every single one of them. There'll be hundreds of millions of people, yea, billions of people, that shall surely be destroyed, like in a heartbeat. And then if they are not born of the Spirit, and they won't be, because God isn't really going to destroy his children any more than he did in the time of Moses, when all the people, the firstborn of Egypt, were killed, and the entire army of Pharaoh drowned in the Red Sea. But the people of Israel crossed over on dry land. Don't you want to be part of the army of the Lord and be able to avoid, to escape all these different tragic events that are happening on earth and that are being accelerated on a daily basis? I can't understand. Why don't you give your heart, your life to the Lord and be safe? Be saved for eternity. Do it now. Don't delay. Okay, let's continue on.
For this reason, when God works on this earth, he pays a lot of attention continually to the matter of his name being hallowed. When God brought the Israelites into the land of Canaan, he told them to gather together in one place to worship him. That was the place where he chose to set his name, Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 5 through 6. God did this so that his name alone would be hallowed among his people. Today, in the dispensation of the New Testament, God has not given any other name under heaven among men whereby we must be saved but the name of the Lord Jesus, Acts chapter 4, verse 12. When we are baptized, it is into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Now, a lot of people you see in the, in the Bible where it says, now baptized in the name of Jesus. Well, a lot of people believe that this is Jesus only, but I've explained this on tape before, and in, in literature that I've written, that these people baptized only in the name of the Father and the Holy Spirit, but now that they know that the Messiah is Jesus and that he's God, he's the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and they saw him. This was proven because he said that he would raise himself up. He laid his life down and that he would raise himself up from the dead. Because the Father was in him, and he is the Father. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit are one. So when we're now baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, even though it says in the name of Jesus, that just means now make sure that you acknowledge that God is Jesus. So mention the name in the Father. And Jesus said, baptize everyone in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. All right, so that closes that case. And then what?
See Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. When we pray, it is in the name of the Lord. John chapter 14, verse 13 through 14. Chapter 16, verse 23 through 24.
Right, when you're casting out devils, you say, in the name of Jesus. When you're laying hands on people and praying that God would touch them because he's already healed them, you're healed already. If you're born of the Spirit, you believe the word of God, you're healed. because you can't deny what the Lord says. He said, by my stripes you were healed. And if you want to call him a liar, do that, but you're going to face him in eternity. If I were you, I wouldn't be calling the God a liar. Now, he said, you're healed by my stripes. Now, receive it and thank the Lord for it, because he paid a horrible price for your healing. The beating that he took, and they pulled the beard out of his face. And they beat him to where he was unrecognizable. The movies that they do on his crucifixion are not at all scriptural. It was like a piece of meat hanging on the cross. It was like you could not tell that he was even a human being. Now, if you want to say that that wasn't sufficient enough for your healing, or that the Word of God is not true, well, then you can do that, but because you're a free moral agent. But I wouldn't want to face God, if I were you, by saying such things. Now receive your healing in the name of Jesus now, because it was paid for 2,000 years ago. All right, let's continue.
When we meet, it is also in the name of the Lord. Matthew 18, verse 20. Therefore, we are those who belong to the name of the Lord, and his name is being hallowed in us. The Lord Jesus came to this earth for the purpose of gaining the people on this earth. Through them, he intends to recover the earth to God's ownership, so that the name of God will again become the only name that is hallowed.
And you noticed, now that it's the close of the end, it's the end of time, you see them doing everything, Satan's last bid to control the things that are happening on this earth. And he's fighting the Christians. He's fighting God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God, the name of God, and Christians who carry the name of God and whose name is hallowed in us. He's doing everything in his power to just put an end to us and to show that he's got power enough to do that. Well, let me tell you something. The secular government is not powerful at all this respect, that they can't go to heaven unless they come to the Lord. Now, you know, anybody can kill, but God can kill and send your soul to hell. Satan can't send your soul to hell if you're serving the Lord. He may be able to kill, but if you're saved, as Stephen was when he was stoned to death, he immediately went up into the kingdom of God. All right, what else?
In that day, men truly will praise God, saying, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth! Exclamation mark. Psalm 8, verse 1.
All right, so this is just one aspect. This is one aspect of spiritual warfare. You must establish the name of God in the world. And you're not going to do it through the secular system, no matter what you do. You're wasting your time and your money. I hear of these different preachers that are raising money because some senator is going to make a stand, you know, and get the name of God and the plaque or something inside of the federal building or something. That isn't the way to fight. That's using carnal weapons. We're not allowed to use carnal weapons. A carnal weapon is like if you see somebody doing something wrong and you don't let the Spirit lead you to that person to tell them what the Spirit of the Lord is telling you, but you say, well, this person over here, I know that this other spiritual person is a friend of this person, so what I'll do is go and tell the friend, then the friend will go and tell the person that's doing something wrong. That is carnal warfare. The Bible says that we must be led by the Spirit. We can't use carnal warfare at all. And I have many more of these different parts of spiritual warfare that you'll want to hear, because most people have no idea how to war spiritually, legally in the eyes of the Lord. Anyone warring any other way, or entangling themselves with the affairs of this world, are not, they're using carnal warfare and not spiritual warfare. Now, a lot of people say, well, I distribute literature or I read and pray. That is not spiritual warfare. Even if you take somebody's piece of literature, that it wins a lot of souls. Or if you say, come to my church because we have a bowling alley, we've got a gym, we've got swimming pools, we've got tremendous music, we've got great singing. This is not spiritual warfare. You're using carnal things to try to build up the congregation of your church. But spiritual warfare doesn't use any of these tools. You never hear the prophets, Jesus, the apostles saying, hey, we've got a great swimming pool, we've got a great basketball team, you could be on the football team, you could. We've got televisions, we've got all these different things. This is carnal warfare, and you're not going to bring anybody to the Lord by doing this. You might bring them to church. We've got great food. This is carnal warfare. Spiritual warfare is the Apostle Paul, Peter, all the apostles, Christ himself, used only the double-edged sword. They walked in the Spirit, and they told people about the gospel as the Holy Spirit dealt with them in their inward parts, and their voice came out of them, which was the voice of the Lord. The Lord said, the words that I speak unto you are not my own. They're the Father. And the Father is, if you're in spiritual warfare, the Father isn't going to tell you, hey, we got a good swimming pool. Can you feature God doing that?
No.
Show me scripture and verse quickly. Quickly. There's no such thing as that. Oh, we got the greatest congregation. We've got more people. You know, many times the more people that are in your church, it's because you're not using spiritual warfare, you're using carnality to get them in. And some of the biggest churches in the world are the ones, they have the most people, are the ones that will not tell the entire character of God. They won't tell all the different sides of God. So this is not spiritual warfare, it's weapons that are carnal. Weapons that are carnal. Oh, we'll give you a free place to live. The Lord doesn't want you to witness that way. You're inducing people to come into the house of God and saying, hey, everything's free over here. Food, clothes, the medical, eyeglasses. You get a new set of teeth. You don't have to gum your food any longer. That isn't spiritual warfare. So the weapons of the people that are of the Lord, their weapons are not carnal, but they're spiritual. Unto the pulling down of strongholds. A person that really is of the Lord doesn't care if they have to go to jail, to prison. They don't care. A person doesn't care any more than the Apostle Paul or Peter if they got put in prison or if they got put to death. And sometimes they don't care if they starve. I mean, you don't want to if they don't have food. And Paul stated that they were hungry at the moment. And he says, I know how to abound and how to abase. I have to be able to do all things by the Spirit. I have to endure our things. And thank God that God gives us the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to war spiritually. So, you know, brothers, sisters out there in the world, don't use carnal warfare. It's not legal. It's illegal, according to the Lord. Preach the word, the Bible says. Amen?
Amen.
Preach the Spirit. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the word of God, the whole word of God, not swimming pools or you're going to put people up that are just deadbeats that don't want to serve the Lord at all. But invite them into the house of God. Then they, if there's no inducement, then they'll say, I don't want to serve God. But if you tell anybody, you know, you're going to get a car, you're going to get this, a radio, television, your own private room, food, clothing, all these different things. Plus, if something happens to you, they're going to pay the money for you to to go to the hospital, to the doctors, eyeglasses, brand new teeth, boots, hats. You know, you can have him ride the horses or whatever inducements he is. Play basketball, work out with the weights, go swimming. It's like, you know, and it's all free. Why, sure, I'll come. Now, do you furnish toothpicks? Oh, my God. If that is not carnal, but if you're really of the Lord, your weapons of warfare are not carnal, but they're spiritual. Amen?
Amen.
All right. This is Until Tomorrow, Acts chapter 12, and part 4 of Spiritual Warfare. This is Pastor Tony Alamo stating, walk in the Spirit, and thou shalt not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Amen?
Amen.
And there's no condemnation to those that walk in the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
And not after the flesh. You don't walk after the flesh. Don't use carnal warfare. Begin relying on the Lord. I mean, we've got to distribute literature. Well, because the message is on the literature, but don't think that because of the fact that you're distributing literature, some people become very lazy, and they become very comfortable, and they forget that they have to get the messages from the Lord as well. I can get people that are not saved at all, and pay them a few bucks, and they'll go distributing the literature on the street, and they're not going to seek the Lord at all, because they think they're waging spiritual warfare by distributing literature that the Lord has given me. And it's right to do that, but it's more right to stay in the Spirit and be able to, when people confront you on the street about why you're saved, how come you do such things as this instead of, you know, doing the things we do, like rioting and taking part in carnality in this world. Then the Holy Spirit will come down upon you and witness and testify. Otherwise, all you're doing is distributing literature that the Lord has given me. And you see that these pieces of literature are winning souls, and we better do it because the Lord told me that if you don't get the literature out, we'll all be destroyed. But if we get it out, we won't be destroyed. But there's more than that. You must be communicating to the Lord. When he tells you to pray always, don't think that because you're handing out pieces of literature that's all there is to spiritual warfare. Because if you think that, you're horribly mistaken. All right, keep your mind on that and start praying. You must fast and pray and seek the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And don't use weapons of carnality. Our weapons of warfare are not these fake inducements, these horrible things, but are spiritual to the pulling down of strongholds. Well, praise the Lord. This is Pastor Tony Alamo saying God bless you, and make sure you tune in tomorrow for part 4 of Spiritual Warfare and chapter 12 of the book of Acts. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord.